Critical Web Accessibility Tips. Hello and welcome to WebX, podcast number 40, about CAPTCHA and accessibility. This is your host, Dennis.
And I'm Ross.
And today we have a few news items to go over, and then we're going to talk about CAPTCHA and what that is and how to use it for more an accessible website.
Absolutely. And to start, we have a couple of items about AJAX, including there's an article on access-matters.com, and it talks about improving AJAX so that it's accessible, because AJAX is pretty new and pretty hip, but you got to make sure it's accessible. And actually, Jeremy Keith wrote a book about AJAX called Bulletproof AJAX, and I haven't had a chance to read it, but I'm sure it's going to be pretty good, and he's pretty accessibility-minded, so I'm sure it'll cover that as well.
Yeah, it looks like a good book, and I'm still slowly easing into the AJAX thing, so that's probably a better way to do it, though, you know, rather than trying to go haywire and making everything AJAX and not accessible and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I'm still pretty new to it, too. I've kind of played around with it, but I haven't really used it for any clients yet, so I'll wait until I get more familiar to start looking into that.
Yeah. And there's been a couple of recent posts on the WebX blog, so check it out if you haven't seen them. Mike Cherum of Beast Blog, or Green Beast, came out with an article recently called Practical Entry-Level Web Accessibility. So if you're still in the beginning stages of learning web accessibility, or even in the intermediate stages, check it out, and you'll probably pick up a few tips.
Yeah, it's a good reference just, you know, to go through and be like, you know, check off, okay, I did that sort of thing.
Right. And there's so much to it, you know, there's always something else to learn, so.
Yeah.
Speaking of lots of things to web accessibility, one huge area is Flash and accessibility that I haven't even gotten to yet in WebX. But Chris Heilman, who we've interviewed last fall, put out an article a little while back on his blog, waittillive.com, and it's kind of like an interview with these two Flash expert guys and talking about Flash and accessibility and everything, and, you know, it's a little techy, but it's definitely has a lot of good information, and so that there's a post about that up on WebX also.
Yeah, definitely worth checking into, especially if you do Flash, because Flash is making pretty big strides to become accessible finally, but nobody knows how
definitely.
To do it. So
right.
And Nielsen, this isn't terribly new, but pretty new, and I kind of came across it and identified with it, and he's got an article about design priorities, and one of the things he says is, you are not the user, and I see this all the time. People kind of think, oh, this is how I'd use the site, so it should be good, but yeah, if you're working on a site, especially your own site, then chances are everybody else is not going to use it the same way.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody uses the site differently, and people with disabilities or, you know, non-disabled folks use it differently, and I use websites different than you and my brother, so.
Yeah. That's why it's so important, yeah. As much testing as possible, because,
yeah,
you know, even as far as disabled user, one disabled user is going to use a screen reader different than the next, so.
Right, you use a different program, too. Not
yeah.
Just JAWS or whatever.
Yeah, there are definitely programs out there other than JAWS.
Okay, so the last bit of news is more of an announcement. The next Refresh Detroit meeting will be February 28th. It's been on Wednesdays, so that's the last day of the month at 6:30, and we're going to meet in Novi, Michigan. So, and I think that's a pretty centralized area for where everybody's coming from. So go to refresh-detroit.org, and you could see the details on that next meeting.
Yep, there'll be a presentation on open source content management systems. So if you or your clients or your company are on a budget, definitely worth checking out.
Yep, and that'll be Connie's putting that together of Tulips Graphics. Have you worked with her at all on that content for that presentation? Or
no, I know she was going to cover Joomla and Mambo, which are kind of the two big ones, and I was going to talk briefly about TextPattern because that's kind of becoming a pretty big standards-based one that's open source. So I think, yeah, she's going to work on hers, and I'm going to work on mine. And
I'm sure WordPress will probably get into the mix, too.
Yeah, another great...
one way or another.
Okay,
so that's... That'll do it for the news and announcements. So let's move on to our main topic for today about CAPTCHA and accessibility. So what is CAPTCHA? First of all, CAPTCHA stands for Completely Automated Public Turing Test to Tell Computers and Humans Apart.
Which is a mouthful.
Yeah, that's why people call it CAPTCHA. And, I guess it was kind of pioneered by Carnegie Mellon University.
Oh, okay.
And I guess a Turing test is named after famed computer scientist Alan Turing, who basically it means it's any kind of test that differentiates a human from a computer. So basically, in the real world, what that means on the web is if you go out to... you know, all different kinds of websites where you have forms and you got to input information or for ticket sales or just maybe a contact form or, you know, message board or any different kind of thing like that. Oftentimes you'll see a graphic and it has, like, letters in it and you're supposed to type it in the box. So the reason why we have that is to tell humans and computers apart. So these forms and everything are getting spammed left and right, and I ran into a lot of web developers out there probably ran into this problem one time or another, but I guess about 10 months ago or so I ran into this big problem. So I'm like, I had to fix two or three sites, you know, all in a span of like a week because I was getting spammed so much it was crazy. Just from like, yeah, these contact forms, it was like terrible. So you're supposed to enter these letters, coded letters in there, whatever, you know, to prove you're human and that you're not spamming, and then the form goes through.
Yeah, I think it started way back when email spammers would sign up for, or they'd write programs to sign up for like Hotmail or whatever, Yahoo Mail, whatever was popular at the time, and they get 1,000 accounts and send out thousands of email from each. And, it's basically to prevent spammers, because they ruin everything.
Yeah, and as we'll get into it in a few minutes, I mean, the CAPTCHA technique, like, doesn't have to be an image. It could be all different kinds of things that we'll get into. But the CAPTCHA is basically just any kind of test to differentiate the human from the computer. As you may have suspected, the problem with the graphical CAPTCHA that I just described is, like, you know, if you're a visually impaired person, or you may have some kind of form of dyslexia, it's going to be difficult for you to, you know, to enter those numbers or letters or whatever that's in the graphical image, and therefore it is not accessible. So, I mean, one popular way that's, I think, at this particular time is one of the better ways getting around this is providing an audio alternative to that image. So you can provide an extra link and have an audio file, you know, like an MP3 file, actually spell out those letters or numbers so that the, you know, a person who can't access that information can get it and enter that information.
Yeah, that's probably one of the best so far. It still has its drawbacks, of course, because there are some users who are both deaf and blind, and that still kind of completely takes that, you know, out of the possibility, because I don't think it's, you know, some sort of Braille reader compatible. And also, I've heard talk about, it's kind of a pain because you might have to play it, you know, 3 or 4 times. And
yeah, some of them work better than others. You can understand them better than others. Some are, like, kind of poor.
Yeah.
Then it probably is going to open and, well, it's up to the user usually, but, you know, it could open a new window or you still have to go back, you know, and then wait for it to download or whatever, but... I mean, there's other suggestions, and people are using them for CAPTCHA, like logic puzzles and live operators and credit card validation, but we'll get into that in a few minutes. I was going to jump to Peter Krantz, his article on standard schmandards.
Yeah, yeah. So what does he have to say? What makes a decent CAPTCHA?
Yeah, let's just jump to that. Talk about what he says. Requirements for a decent CAPTCHA. It should be accessible. For as many users as possible, regardless of culture, age, and impairment.
I think that's a big one because a lot of people just assume, you know, the American alphabet, but not everybody knows the American alphabet, so... It should have some form of, you know, catering to other alphabets if needed.
Yeah. Brings up a point about the logic puzzles. That's kind of, if you use those, like a simple math question or something, you know, that's not, you know, that's not specific to any language. It's just the language of mathematics.
Yeah, yeah. Really.
So that could be an argument for that.
Yeah.
All right, so he says the next requirement for a decent CAPTCHA is the server software has to be able to create a test instance efficiently. A test instance should be able to create automatically without human intervention.
Which I think that's pretty standard now, if I'm reading that correctly, saying that somebody shouldn't have to be there typing in, okay, type in A, B, J, H, K, or whatever.
It shouldn't take... Yeah, well, like, generating these, you know, audio files, like we were talking about, you know, if it takes, like, 20 or 30 seconds to create it, you know, that might be a problem, but...
Yeah.
Fortunately, it doesn't. It usually only takes a couple seconds, but... I think he's also, basically, going back to the, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but an alternative suggestion has been live operators... for these CAPTCHA tests or whatever, but obviously that would require a human intervention and too many resources to make it work. So,
yeah, that has all sorts of problems.
All right, his next point was the server software has to be able to calculate the test result easily. That makes sense?
Yep.
User privacy must not be invaded. And I guess that would come in with, like, credit card validation, you know, as an alternative, or the a passport solution.
Yeah, I can think of all sorts of ways people could come up with, like putting your zip code or your address to confirm it's, you know, an address that matches your IP or who knows.
Put in your social security number.
Yeah, sounds good.
And his last point: it should be difficult for a non-human to detect the answer to the test.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one because I know now. A lot of these robots are having more success detecting the alphabet images, which is why they're putting more and more lines and, you know, breaks in all the letters and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the letters are all, like, sideways and upside down and stuff.
Yeah, which, you know, even someone, you know, myself, where I don't have dyslexia or any vision problems, I get them wrong all the time.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, so...
I hate that.
Yeah. How accessible are those?
Yeah, really. All right, so let's go through some of the proposed solutions a little more thoroughly. We found some from the W3C, and this is basically repeating most of them that we already mentioned, but the first one is to use logic puzzles, you know, like a math question or... I guess that would also include, like, you know, those, what color is the sky or whatever.
Yeah.
That kind of question, but, because Peter Krantz says that that solution, he says it doesn't satisfy his number two requirement, that it has to be, let's see. Oh, no, it's because of the, if a person has, like, a cognitive impairment or something, then that might hinder that way of doing CAPTCHA.
Yeah, that can make that, you know, increasingly more difficult.
And credit card validation?
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to hand over my credit card to anyone.
Yeah, everybody just stick in your credit card number just to prove you're not a machine. No, obviously, I can make people happy to do that. So another option given was the live operators. And as Peter Krantz pointed out, that fails on efficiency. Federated identity systems, he points out, well, that doesn't exist yet, so we can't use it.
Yeah.
And sound output. He says, if it could be possible to create a sound file that was difficult to decode for a machine, this may be the best option to use together with a regular CAPTCHA image.
Yeah. I think that really is probably the best solution right now.
Yeah, right now I'd have to agree that's the best solution, to do the regular CAPTCHA image, the graphic with the letters and numbers and stuff, and then give an alternative link for a sound file.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And Passport Solution, which is kind of like, you know, for those familiar, MSN has like a passport login and password, and the idea is that it confirms you one time with a CAPTCHA, and it has like audio confirmation, and then you can use the same login and password for, you know, thousands of different services, so a web form could tie into this. The drawback is people could just pay someone $10 an hour to go through and get 1,000 different passport accounts, and then they can just get the database of that. So it still kind of has holes. It's a good idea, but not foolproof. And then there's some non-interactive checks, including spam filtering and heuristic checks, which would kind of be like, you're not actively typing in, you know, a string of characters or an answer to a question. It looks at how quickly you fill out the form, maybe your IP address, where you're coming from, what email address is being put in, what's being said. And actually, WordPress does a pretty good job. There's a spam plugin by default. I think it's called Akismet, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes a look at all these things, and then it rates it. And this is kind of one of these non-interactive checks. And it catches most of the spam, and what's left over does get through, but it's at least it's severely limited. Limited use accounts, which would be like if you sign up for webmail, you can only send out 10 emails a day, which is good for people who only send out 10 emails a day, but of course...
Okay, so if you have a contact form, like... you would limit, like, a certain IP address to one or two a day or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
That's pretty reasonable. Or if you run an email service, I think that was the other angle they're going from, is, you know, only let free accounts send out 10 emails a day, which really punishes people who want to do, you know, kind of more... yeah, I definitely send more than 10 emails a day, so I wouldn't be able to do that. And watch for abuse. So, again, I think this is kind of more under, you know, you're running a service and people sign up for accounts, and so anytime, you know, it's an account sending out thousands of emails, you can shut them down.
Good, good. Yeah, so those are some good options for, so those aren't obviously necessary. That's not where the users, they're not going to be doing interactive inputting, like, certain information, whatever, to confirm their user. This is like checks on the server side or the web server that's going to be doing that.
Yep.
Excellent. All right, let's go. I found. Well, I didn't find. Just in the last year or so, just I've been coming pretty familiar with different ways of doing CAPTCHA on your website. So on WebAx, I'll be posting some good services that I've come across that you could use to do CAPTCHA on your website. And these are all either free, you know, or and they're all pretty like accessible. They have, like I said, if they use the image CAPTCHA, then they have the alternative link for audio and a couple other variations of things. But one, the best one I found, I just implemented like 2 days ago or something for the first time, and I think it's the best one in my opinion. It's at CAPTCHA.net, and it's good. What can I say? It's pretty fast, and it gives you, you sign up, it's free, and if you pay a little bit of money, I think it's like $90 a year or something, then it'll remove the little advertisement on the image. It gives, you know, it puts the URL in the image because it's free, but for a nominal fee, you know, you could get rid of that. But it's pretty fast, and it provides a captured image with the text link for the an MP3 audio file, and it doesn't require JavaScript or anything like that. So I highly recommend that one.
Oh, that sounds promising. So is it done, is like a server-side include, or is it PHP, or how does it, what kind of code is it behind it?
I'm pretty sure they provide all different kinds of code.
Okay, so it's something you put on your server yourself, and then it calls to there?
Yeah, you got to put it on your, I think they have, an ASP solution in PHP or whatever, so you just grab whatever code's appropriate, and then you use that, you know. But yeah, check it out. It's pretty awesome. So that's at CAPTCHA.net. And then the one I was using before that is at protectwebform.com. That one's really good, too. It provides pretty much the same feature, but it has two drawbacks. One is, it's a little slow. It loads in a little slow on the page, and so your page doesn't fully come in or display until it's loaded. And I think it's slower when you have the option for audio on, which I did, you know, since that's the accessible way.
Yeah.
And it also requires JavaScript which is bad. So, some other options is this a PHP contact form that's free for you to use from Mike Cherum at beastblog.com. And that has a form of CAPTCHA included with it. I think it's like a logical question.
Oh, okay. And he has a WordPress version too, doesn't he?
Yeah, there's a plugin for WordPress for that contact form, which is pretty awesome. So he does that stuff.
Yeah, I used to get all sorts of spam through my WordPress blog. I think bots can actively search for them, so that'd be a good one to look into if you're having that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, another WordPress plugin is I found is called OffImage. Let's see. And there'll be a link to all these on the blog entry for this podcast. So, and there was another one by Eric Meyer, but it wasn't finished. He started it, and I guess it was in decent shape, but it wasn't finished, and it's like a year old now or something. It's called WP Gatekeeper. That's for WordPress also. But you could always write your own or have your company write, you know, your own if you wanted to with the PHP or whatever language, you know, to make some simple logic questions. You could do like a mathematical question or do like a random logic question like what color is an orange or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too hard to kind of come up with a set of questions.
Yep. And I think that's about it. So I'll put some more, a few other reference links on the blog entry for this podcast, but I think that pretty much covers everything, Ross.
Yeah, so to kind of summarize, there's quite a few things you can do for CAPTCHA if you're having spam, but you want to make sure it's all accessible, and I think we both think that an audio alternative is probably the best way to go at this point, but stay tuned, because new technology is always coming out.
Yeah, you know, and I don't mind the idea of the logic puzzles either, but, I guess I mean, they all have their issues, you know.
Yeah.
The audio one, or the capture one, you know, they're kind of hard to read sometimes, and then you have to, you know, or you could download the wave, but it's kind of a pain.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, the whole idea is a little annoying, because it's adding more time to your task, and especially if you get it wrong, you have to download another file, but...
Well, I guess that's what we got to do.
Right? Yeah, we're kind of at a point.
For these damn spammers out there, so stop it.
Yeah. Leave us alone.
Yeah, really. Okay, well, that wraps it up for podcast number 40 of WebX, Capture and Accessibility. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Catch you next time.
The WebX blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@webaxe@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAX is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.